You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Refusing to muddy our boots with the muck and mire of politics is simply not an option for a follower of Christ.
Tradition is smarter than any one of us, smarter than any group of us, smarter than any generation.
With modern bromances or modern friendships or even modern marriages, the moment it's not fun anymore, you're not happy anymore, you just abandon it. You leave it because it's not serving you.
The discerning consumer of this type of television should say, Rod Parsley is offering these blessings, Larry Huck is offering these blessings. I think I want those ones better than those ones, so I'll send my money to that guy.
Colorado trumpet players love Issues, etc.
Interesting, a lot of sometimes shocking things in the now regular email dumps that we are getting via the media from WikiLeaks. But one of them probably doesn't ruffle a lot of feathers for people who are interested only in the political, but I think probably in terms of its grandeur, its scope, its ambition is a big one, and that is a email. It was one of John Podesta's email from Sandy Newman, president of Voices for Progress, that suggested that the Roman Catholic Church, well, needs a little push into what he called a Catholic Spring, like the Arab Spring, to push it out of a Middle Ages dictatorship, bring a little financial power to bear against nuns and priests who count on it for maintenance, his words, not mine. We're going to be talking about remarks made by a Clinton campaign chairman, John Podesta, about the Roman Catholic Church. Of course, Podesta's response is, well, let's see if that works, more or less. Rick Hinshaw will join us here in the first few minutes of Issues, Etc. Greetings and welcome. We're coming to you live on this Friday afternoon, October the 14th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly will join us in about 20 minutes. We're going to talk about a New York Times story about the importance of Jerusalem to world religions and one very important thing it left out. Then Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today, we're going to talk about twisting the storm stories in Scripture. I'll have a few examples for us of that. And we'll play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Four soundbites we play for you. All you have to do is listen. And then give us a call with your vote, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can listen to the soundbites in advance and vote in advance there as well. Joining us to talk about some remarks made between the Clinton campaign and John Podesta about the Roman Catholic Church, Rick Hinshaw, Director of Communications for the Catholic League. Rick, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
How do you respond to Sandy Newman of Voices for Progress calling traditional Roman Catholicism a Middle Ages dictatorship?
Well, you know, I mean, this is the kind of attitude that that the secularists really take, you know, and they take the approach that everything is subject to democratic vote, that there are no absolute principles, no higher principles, and so a church that teaches that there are absolute truths that are timeless is referred to as a medieval or middle-aged dictatorship. That's certainly not the case. I mean, the modern Catholic Church welcomes input from the laity, but within the fact that there are these concrete, you know, unchanging teachings that obviously someone on the left, and obviously that's what we're seeing here, are opposed to these kinds of things because the Church stands as kind of a bulwark against some of the tearing down, some of the secular hedonism that dominates our world today. And you know, what they're talking about is changing church teachings on things like abortion and marriage. You know, and the fact is, one of the disturbing things here is when he when Sandy Newman makes this proposal to John Podesta and says, you know, we've got to plant the seeds of a revolution, and Podesta comes, but within the Catholic Church, and Podesta comes back and says, yeah, we're already doing that. You know, we've had this Catholic Spring thing in mind for a long time, and we've established new groups, you know, Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good. And they're saying that, you know, these groups are going to bring about this change. But if you understand, groups like Catholic Alliance for the Common Good is funded by George Soros, a radical pro-abortion left-wing activist billionaire who's been spending his billions around the world trying to radicalize abortion laws in other countries. This is a guy, he's not even a Catholic, who is funding this front group that John Podesta founded. So Podesta's really being a point man for George Soros's attacks on the Church. And, it, you know, this is not trying to inspire a debate about, for example, how does Catholic social teaching apply to some of the issues of the day. You know, there can be those legitimate debates. What are the best programs to help the poor in the minds of the Church? But this is about undermining, subverting fundamental Catholic teachings, making the Church pro-abortion, making the Church pro-gay marriage. Remember that Hillary Clinton, about a year ago, told the gathering that religious beliefs have to change. Those were her exact words, to accommodate this secularist view of the world, which she happens to share. And so that's what's going on here. You know, the name calling about the Catholic Church, we criticized that the first day, the first leaks that came out. But then when this second one that you've brought up, and you've focused on the right one, because that one goes much deeper to an active effort to infiltrate and subvert the Catholic Church from within for partisan, political, and ideological interests.
Is that just it, Rick, that apparently Sandy Newman, who never claims to be an expert or anything close to an expert in Roman Catholicism, mm-hmm. and John Podesta, who is, by his own admission, a Roman Catholic, seem to view the Catholic Church in America as just a potentially political entity, just another political pawn to move around?
Exactly, exactly. And these are the same people that in other contexts will rail about the separation of church and state, you know, that people of faith and religious leaders ought not to even have anything to say about the great moral issues of our time. But then in a case like this, when they see that they can try to use the church and use Catholics to their political advantage, they intrude into the inner workings of the Catholic Church to move it in their political direction. I mean, the hypocrisy is and the double standard is just remarkable.
What is most chilling to me in Newman's email to Podesta is his suggestion that economic power, as he says, can be brought to bear against nuns and priests who count on the church for their maintenance. What do you think he's talking about there?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a way, I think, you know, of what I think he's talking about, and I could be wrong here. Number one, influencing Catholics in terms of their giving to the church. You know, again, if you're working, infiltrating within the church to influence Catholics and maybe discourage them from contributions to those in the church who hold to its teachings, that could be one thing. The other thing, though, is you wonder about all of the government programs and how government funding for some of the good work that Catholic priests and nuns are involved in could be made subject to this kind of ideological change, ideological pressures. You know, I mean, this is something that we've seen with the HHS mandate, you know, to require, my goodness, when the Little Sisters of the Poor have to go into the Supreme Court to defend their right not to have to fund abortion-inducing drugs. I mean, this is a way of saying, you know, with the government so involved in so many areas of spending and social programs and everything, well, if you don't adhere to our secular agenda, you're not going to see those funds anymore to help the people that you want to help. And we saw this a couple of years ago with the Obama administration with regard to the issue of human trafficking. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops had what the government admitted was one of the better programs in helping victims of human trafficking. But because the bishops wouldn't get involved in procuring abortions for victims of human trafficking, the government cut off the public funds for that program.
How would you respond to someone who says, look, this is what perhaps Republican administrations have been doing for decades with the religious light, with evangelical groups? They've infiltrated them. They've influenced them. They've moved them around like political pawns as well. And now it's just it's what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander if Democratic operatives in the Clinton campaign want to attempt to do the same with Roman Catholics.
Well, I think, you know, there's a difference between, again, a religious freedom and people of faith and religious leaders also being able to speak out on the issues of the day. And obviously people are going to be drawn to support candidates and parties that they believe stand for the things that they believe in. And the Democrats have been doing this too, you know, more liberal religious elements have certainly supported the Democratic Party and its efforts. So, I mean, that's all part of the system. But I think this kind of thing, I don't know of any time when you can find conservative groups or conservatives in high echelons of government or connected to presidential campaigns infiltrating into churches to try to, in a clandestine way, advance their political agenda. So I think, you know, interaction between faith communities and the political process, again, that's something that the Democrats pretend to oppose, but not when there are ways they can manipulate it to their advantage. But as long as that's done up front on the up and up, our political process benefits from the input of all our citizens, and that includes certainly people of faith. I mean, all you need to do is go back and look at the history of America and the great role that faith communities have played in so many of the important movements and advances in our country, from abolishing slavery, the civil rights movement, and you look around the world, you know, to the role that religion has played in fighting for freedom, you know, in the Pope and the Catholic Church in Poland against the communists, the movement against apartheid in South Africa. There's room for healthy interaction between faith communities and the political system, but it needs to be upfront, not this kind of effort to subvert the teachings of a church when those teachings don't play to your political ideology.
Perhaps an encouraging thing here, finally, Rick, is that there does seem to be a knowledge on the part of both Sandy Newman and John Podesta that the bishops, they say the bishops will undoubtedly continue to fight. How important is it for American Catholicism that they have faithful Catholic bishops who are neither swayed by this kind of stuff, or even if they were successful in trying to undermine with a grassroots effort the faithful of the Roman Catholic Church, are able and have the courage to stand up to it?
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely vital. And I am so proud of Archbishop Chaput of Philadelphia, who yesterday came out with a very strong statement condemning this. We need strong bishops to provide that leadership. And not everybody's going to follow it. Not everyone's going to believe it. But I think what the bishops understand is that even for Catholics who decide, well, they disagree with this or that church teaching, that it's essential that the bishops teach the faith so that everybody has a chance to fully know and understand what it is that they're accepting or rejecting. And that's why something like this is so insidious, because we think it's an attempt to infiltrate the church and confuse Catholics about what their church teaches and why. So we need our bishops to continue to be strong leaders and strong teachers of the faith, and we, the Catholic faithful, have got to support them in their efforts to do that, especially when it leads to them being vilified by elements in our culture, whether they be political, the media, or wherever it comes from where the church is targeted.
Finally, then, do you think this will be the final attempt by secular progressives to infiltrate the Roman Catholic Church in America?
Sadly, no. I don't think it will be. I think this is ongoing. I think, you know, that this has been exposed is a good thing, and hopefully will maybe give some pause. But I think, again, you know, I hate to say it, but I think what Hillary Clinton said last year about, you know, religious beliefs are going to have to change, the effort to infiltrate religions, and on the other hand, to simply use government and legislation to bring faith communities to heal. I think that's what you're seeing with these efforts now. You know, Secretary Clinton advocating doing away even with the Hyde Amendment in order to force taxpayers to pay for abortion, so that it's not just enough to have abortion legal. They are going to force those of us who oppose it to be involved with it by paying for it. And you certainly know, you know, everything that's been going on with the same-sex marriage issue and the attempt to force family businesses involved in catering or photography or whatever, force them, regardless of their religious beliefs, to participate in same-sex wedding ceremonies again. And not enough that that has been legalized, but now you who oppose it are going to be forced to be involved in it. And so I think this will all continue. I think this exposure of these emails hopefully puts us on more alert, makes more Catholics, Christians, and all people of faith more aware of what can happen, makes us more attentive, and hopefully makes all people of faith stand together to oppose this kind of thing.
Rick Hinshaw is Director of Communications for the Catholic League. You'll find a link to the Catholic League under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Rick, thank you very much for your time. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Terry Mattingly is with us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about a New York Times story he came across on the importance of Jerusalem to the three great world's monotheisms, Judaism, Christianity, Islam. Did a good job on Judaism and Islam, not so good on why Jerusalem is important to Christians. We'll find out how with Terry Mattingly of GetReligion.org after this.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th century. 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.